turns gold. There's a cold monkey with a heart so bold, tapping on keys like they're made of pure soul. Building dreams out of digits, making websites roll. Oh, Austin Cold Monkey, working all night. SEO wizard making ladies take flight. From the Texas heat to the neon glow, you're the consummate king of the SEO show.
Imagine spending $100,000 designing the actual perfect website.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You hire the absolute best writers, you commission all this custom photography, you optimize your sales funnel, and then you launch with, like, incredible fanfare, and then absolute silence.
Just crickets.
Literally zero traffic, not a single organic visitor.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not because your product is bad and it's not because your marketing failed. It's because a developer accidentally left a single seven-letter word inside a tiny, totally invisible text file.
Yeah.
And that one word basically told the entire internet to completely ignore you. So today, for this deep dive, we are looking at that specific file.
It really is the hidden architecture of the web. I mean, most people interact with the internet every single day, right?
Yeah.
They're clicking links, they're asking AI chatbots questions.
Right.
And they have absolutely no idea this file even exists, let alone that it is silently dictating what information they actually get to see on the screens.
Exactly. So to figure out how this mechanism works, we are pulling from a really fascinating piece of analysis by an Austin, Texas-based SEO agency called Austin Code Monkey. And the article is titled Robots.txt for AI Search Optimization.
Which is a great breakdown, by the way.
It is. Now, you might be listening to this thinking, robots.txt, that sounds like something buried in the basement of, like an IT department. Why do I care? But stick with us here, because the implications affect anyone who publishes a single word online.
Yeah, and our mission today isn't just to, you know, walk through the dry technical syntax of web development.
No, definitely not.
We're looking at a fundamental shift in how information is discovered. Because for decades, as the Austin Code Monkey article points out, this tiny file, this robots.txt, was strictly the domain of developers and, like, hardcore search engine nerds.
Right, it was just basic server plumbing.
Exactly. But today,
yeah.
Today it determines how massive AI platforms read, summarize, and potentially co-opt or promote your content.
Okay, let's unpack this. What actually is a robots.txt file? And what does it do when an automated crawler shows up at your website? Because to help you visualize this, I usually think of robots.txt as like the bouncer standing at the front door of your website's VIP club.
I like that.
Right. So when an automated crawler arrives from Google or Bing or OpenAI, the very first thing it does is walk up to the bouncer and ask for the rules. It literally requests yourdomain.com, robux.txt, to read the club policy before it takes another step.
Yeah, the visual works as a starting point, for sure. But let's look at the mechanics, because it's literally just a plain text document sitting in the root directory of a server.
Just a text file.
Just a text file. And inside that document are blocks of text assigning rules to specific bots. So it starts with a line calling out the user agent, which is just the specific name of the bot, like Googlebot, followed by disallow or allow command that lists specific file paths.
Wait, if this file is just a text document sitting on my server, what stops, like, a malicious scraper or some rogue AI bot from just ignoring the bouncer and walking in anyway? I mean, is this a physical lock on the door, or is this just an honor system?
Oh, it is entirely an honor system.
Really?
Yeah, that is a critical distinction to make. A robots.txt file does not have a firewall. It cannot physically force a piece of software to leave your server.
Wow, okay.
It's just a communication layer designed for compliant bots. You know, the legitimate web crawlers operated by major companies like Google, Microsoft, Anthropic, OpenAI.
Right, the big players.
Exactly. Those companies program their bots to check for the file and respect the rules. A malicious hacker writing a script to, say, steal your credit card data, they'll just ignore the file entirely.
So it's less of a big muscular bouncer and more of a, like, a please keep off the grass sign that only law-abiding citizens actually obey.
That's a much more accurate way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of how these compliant bots behave, Austin Code Monkey highlights a massive misconception that really trips up a lot of business owners.
Oh, yeah.
And even some web developers, honestly. It is the crucial difference between crawling and indexing.
See, I always assumed those were just two words for the exact same process.
Most people do.
Mm-hmm.
But structurally, they are two totally separate events.
Yeah.
Crawling is when a bot actually visits a URL, downloads the code and reads its contents.
Okay.
It scans the paragraphs of text, maps out the images, it follows the internal links. But indexing, on the other hand, is when the search engine takes the information it gathered, files it away in its massive database, and makes it eligible to show up in a user's search results later.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so a robots.txt file only controls the crawling behavior. It does not directly control indexing.
Wait, so if I tell the bouncer to keep someone out, that doesn't mean they won't end up on the guest list anyway. Huh. How does a search engine index a page it was forbidden from actually reading?
Because it uses context clues from the rest of the internet.
What do you mean?
Let's say you block a page in your robots.txt file. Googlebot hits the block, reads the sign, and walks away. But out on the broader web, 50 different websites all link back to that blocked URL.
Oh, okay.
And in the text of those links, the anchor text, they all use the exact phrase, Austin SEO pricing sheet. Google's algorithm looks at that external data and assumes, well, I'm not allowed to see the page myself, but I know exactly what's on it based on what everyone else is calling it.
That is wild.
It basically builds a ghost profile of your page based entirely on digital gossip.
The digital gossip. So the door is locked. The bot can't see what's inside, but because everyone in the hallway is pointing at the door saying, hey, the pricing sheet is in there, Google just puts the door's address in the directory anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And this is why Austin Code Monkey stresses that if you truly want to hide a page from the public, say it's a private internal document or some staging environment,
right,
you cannot rely on robots.txt.
Right.
You need specific indexing controls, like a Noindex meta tag placed in the actual HTML of the page itself.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, the bot has to be allowed to crawl the page to read the Noindex tag, which then tells it to drop the page from the database. This raises an important question. Why wouldn't you just let the search engines read absolutely everything on your site to maximize your exposure?
Right, because if the goal is digital visibility, you'd think you'd want the bouncer to just prop the doors wide open and let every single bot scan every single inch of your site.
You would think so, yeah.
But that ignores the actual physical constraints of the internet. Like, computing power is not infinite. Search engines simply do not have the time or the server space or the energy budget to read every single page of the trillions of pages that exist online.
Not even close.
They have to allocate their resources super carefully. Let's put a concrete visual on that. Think of Googlebot like an auditor who only has exactly 5 minutes to evaluate your business. If you leave the doors to the supply closet, the basement, and the old filing room wide open, the auditor just wastes their 5 minutes wandering around empty rooms.
Yeah, looking at mops and buckets.
Exactly. And they never even see your award-winning showroom before their timer runs out.
And that is the concept of crawl budget.
Yeah.
In a nutshell. And a lot of that budget gets totally wasted on what the Austin Code Monkey article identifies as junk pages.
Junk pages.
Yeah. If you have a large website, especially an e-commerce site, you might have hundreds of thousands of URLs that are generated automatically by the server.
Oh, like those infinite loops. Like if you have a clothing store and a user clicks a search filter to sort shirts by size 10, then they click the color blue, then they sort by lowest price.
Yes.
Every single one of those filter permutations creates a brand new unique URL, right?
Exactly. Add to that your internal site search results, your customer login portals, your shopping cart pages, your administrative dashboard.
Right. Nobody needs to see those.
No. Those pages provide almost zero value to a new user who is searching on Google. I mean, no one searches for a pair of blue shirts and wants to land on an empty shopping cart page.
That would be a terrible experience.
It would. So if search engines spend their limited time crawling those low-priority, auto-generated URLs, your actual important content, like your core product pages or your blog, might get crawled much less frequently or just entirely ignored.
So by updating the robots.txt file, you are locking the utility closets, so the auditor is forced to spend their budget entirely in the showroom.
Right. What's fascinating here is that you aren't just locking doors for security. You are painting a bright yellow line on the floor.
Oh, I like that.
You are directing search engines exactly where you want them to go. You block the junk, which forces the bots to allocate their crawl budget to your high-value service pages, your educational resources, the articles that actually drive revenue.
Because they literally have nowhere else to go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this strategy, known as crawl efficiency, has been the gold standard of technical SEOs for traditional search engines for years.
But, and here's the big but, optimizing for Googlebot was fine when the internet was just a giant library of links. But that whole crawl efficiency strategy kind of breaks down when the bots knocking at your door aren't trying to rank your links anymore.
Yeah, the game change.
They're trying to consume your brain power. Here's where it gets really interesting. Modern websites are no longer just being crawled by traditional search engines. They're being crawled by artificial intelligence platforms, answer engines, and large language models.
Yes, this is the massive shift we mentioned at the start. The AI invasion.
The AI invasion.
Artificial intelligence introduces a fundamentally new layer of complexity to crawler management.
Yeah.
Because unlike Googlebot, which, you know, ultimately wants to send a user to your website.
Right, to click your link.
Exactly. Hmm. An AI bot often wants to extract your information so it can answer the user's question directly on its own platform.
Without them ever visiting you?
All right, so Austin CodeMonkey breaks down today's AI ecosystem and highlights a critical split that every single website owner needs to understand. Basically, there are two very different categories of AI bots, training bots and retrieval bots.
Let's break down that taxonomy because this is where the rubber really meets the road for anyone running a business online. You know, you might be listening to this thinking, I run a bakery or, you know, a local law firm. Why do I care about OpenAI's training bots?
Well, let's look at the training bots first. These are crawlers like GPT-Bot from OpenAI, ClaudeBot from Anthropic, and CCBot, which is operated by a nonprofit called Common Crawl.
Oh, okay.
The sole purpose of these bots is to vacuum up massive amounts of public data. They aren't looking to send traffic your way at all. They are downloading your articles, your proprietary research, your recipes, your website copy, all to train their massive AI models.
Right.
They are learning how to speak, reason, and generate content literally by consuming yours.
So if your bakery's secret sourdough recipe is published on your blog, GPT-Bot ingests it, internalizes the methodology, and then just regurgitates it to a user thousands of miles away who asks ChatGPT how to bake bread.
Yes.
You don't get a link click, you don't get a customer, you just gave away your intellectual property for completely free.
And that is the core concern for many publishers right now. Mm-hmm. It's a huge issue.
Yeah.
Now, contrast that with the second category, retrieval bots.
Okay.
These are crawlers like OAI SearchBot from OpenAI, Claude SearchBot, and Google Extended. And these bots function entirely differently than the training bots.
How so?
They are pulling information in real time to answer specific user queries in AI-powered search experiences. And crucially, they're designed to actually cite their sources.
Ah, so they act a bit more like digital librarians.
Exactly.
When someone asks a live AI search engine a direct question, the retrieval bot scans the web, pulls the factual answer from your site, and actually provides a clickable link back to you.
Right. So you have this clear strategic divergence. But how you handle it depends entirely on your specific business model.
Let me play devil's advocate for a second, though.
Sure.
If I'm a small business owner working with Austin CodeMonkey to optimize my site, why wouldn't I just want maximum visibility across the board? I mean, I need brand awareness. Why wouldn't I want my name and my data in ChatGPT's mouth, even if it's just serving as training data?
Well, it comes down to the difference between being a silent contributor and being an active recommendation.
Okay.
Austin CodeMonkey advocates for a highly targeted approach. Let's say you spent hundreds of hours writing highly specialized legal analysis for your firm's blog.
Right, highly valuable stuff.
Very valuable.
Yeah.
If you allow training bots, your insights are just blended into the AI's general knowledge base. When the AI uses your insights to answer a legal question later, it won't necessarily credit you. It just presents the information as its own knowledge.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So by explicitly blocking the training bots like GPT-Bot and ClaudeBot,
yep,
you prevent your hard work from being swallowed for free.
But you don't want to block the AI entirely, right? Because people are using these tools to find businesses now.
Exactly the point. You want to explicitly allow the retrieval bots like OAI SearchBot and Claude SearchBot.
Yeah.
That way, if a user prompts an AI search tool with, who is the best corporate lawyer in Austin for a startup? The retrieval bot can access your site in real time, retrieve your credentials, and recommend you directly in the response, complete with a link.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. You protect your data from the vacuum, but you keep your doors open for the live referrals.
It's like a surgical strike. You are blocking the data vampires, but letting in the digital librarians. But managing all of this, like, juggling traditional Google bots, Bing bots, blocking specific AI training bots, while actively allowing specific AI retrieval bots, it just sounds incredibly delicate.
Oh, it is extremely delicate.
Yeah.
The article points out that many severe SEO issues originate from incredibly simple technical mistakes in this exact file. The margin for error is razor thin.
So it's essentially a single point of failure.
Yep.
Like a typo in one line of code. A stray forward slash cascades down and literally tells Google to drop you from the search index. I mean, how often does that actually happen?
Honestly, alarmingly often. A single forward slash in the wrong place next to a disallow command will tell every single compliant bot to just turn around and walk away. Your site won't be crawled, its updated pages won't be indexed, and your organic traffic can flatline practically overnight.
That is terrifying.
It is. But it goes further than just accidental lockouts. Another massive error is blocking the technical resources required for a page to actually render properly, specifically CSS and JavaScript files.
Wait, why would a developer block those in the first place?
Mostly to save that crawl budget we talked about earlier.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Some website owners think, well, the bots only need to read the text on my article to know what it's about, right? So I'll just block the design files and the scripts to speed up the bot's visit.
That sounds logical, though.
It does. But modern search engines do not just read the raw HTML code anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They actually visually render the page, almost exactly like a human using a Chrome browser.
Right, because consider the mechanics of that. Google wants to know if your website is actually a good experience for a human.
Exactly.
They need to check if your buttons are actually clickable, if your pop-ups are super intrusive, or if your text is, like, way too small to read on a mobile screen.
Spot on. And to check all of that, they need the CSS and the JavaScript. If you block those files in your robots.txt, the bot tries to render the page and just sees a broken, unstyled, chaotic mess of text.
Oh, wow.
And so it assumes your website is broken for actual users.
Yeah.
And it will heavily penalize your rankings for having a poor user experience, even if the text itself is perfectly optimized.
So you have to let the auditors see the paint and the furniture, not just the concrete foundation.
Exactly.
What about site migrations? Because I know Austin Code Monkey warns about that transition period when a company is launching a new design.
Oh, that is a classic painful mistake. What happens is a company will build a brand new website on a temporary staging server.
Right.
And to keep Google from indexing their half-finished broken pages while they work, the developers put up a highly restrictive robots.txt file with a global disallow command.
Which is the responsible thing to do.
It is, totally.
Yeah.
Until launch day.
Oh, no.
Yep. The team pushes the new site live to the main domain. They pop the champagne. They celebrate the launch. And they completely forget to update or remove the robots.txt file from the server.
Ouch.
3 weeks go by, and the executive team looks at the analytics and realizes their brand new, extremely expensive website has vanished entirely from Google. The staging server rules were left active, and they inadvertently told the entire internet to ignore their launch.
That is a very hard conversation to have with your boss.
Definitely.
And this highlights why this deep dive matters to you, the listener. Because as the Austin Code Monkey analysis points out, most business owners only look at their robots.txt file reactively.
Yeah, they don't even know it's there.
Right. They only start digging into the server files after their rankings tank, or when they suddenly realize their competitors are being recommended by ChatGPT and they aren't.
And that's the thing. Investing in AI search optimization requires moving from a reactive stance to a proactive one.
Right.
It isn't about throwing up blanket restrictions and just hoping for the best. It requires a highly selective, tailored strategy.
Right.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the role of robots.txt has entirely shifted. It has evolved from a simple diagnostic tool into a core component of digital visibility and intellectual property protection in the age of conversational interfaces.
Because we are moving toward a world where people don't just search for a list of blue links anymore.
No, they don't.
They ask an AI a complex question, and they expect a synthesized, cited answer. Mm-hmm. And if your crawler management isn't dialed in, if you haven't separated the bots that steal from the bots that cite, your business simply won't exist in that new ecosystem.
You absolutely have to dictate the terms of access to compete in the next generation of discovery.
Okay, let's bring this all together. What have we learned today? We've learned that robots.txt is not just a basic do not enter sign. It is a traffic cop, a bouncer, and a strategic negotiator, all rolled into one tiny text document.
Yeah, and we covered the mechanical difference between crawling, which is the act of a bot reading a page, and indexing, the act of a search engine building a profile of that page, sometimes just through digital gossip and external links.
The gossip.
We also explored crawl efficiency and how you have to block the auto-generated junk pages to force search engines to focus on your high-value content.
And most importantly, we learned that the AI invasion has forced a split in the bot ecosystem. You have the training bots that want to consume your data to build their models, and the retrieval bots that pull your data in real time to actually cite you as an answer.
Right.
Strategically managing who gets in and who stays out is the new frontier of search optimization. So what does this all mean?
Well, it leaves us looking at a fascinating structural dilemma for the future of the web. We talked about how individual businesses might logically want to block AI training bots to protect their intellectual property, right?
Sure, yeah.
But zoom out for a second. If every business, every news outlet, every independent research blog, and every creator on the internet suddenly decides to lock their doors and block those training bots, what happens to the future development of these massive AI models?
Oh, wow. That's like the tragedy of the commons, but for digital knowledge.
Exactly. If the open web that initially built these artificial intelligences slowly closes its doors to protect itself, how do these models continue to learn and evolve?
Right.
And if the decentralized open web is blocked off, whose knowledge and what specific potentially closed off data sets will power the next generation of artificial intelligence?
That is a massive structural question to leave hanging. Who controls the future knowledge base? Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We hope this gave you a totally new perspective on the invisible architecture of the internet, the mechanics of how you are actually found online, and how one tiny text file is shaping the future of AI. Keep learning, stay curious, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.
New from the Austin Code Monkey Underground Lab, the Austin Code Monkey AI Review Response Generator. Our SEO chimp got tired of writing review replies, so we built AI. Utilize it for your business because nobody opens their laptop excited to reply to Google, Yelp, Facebook, and TripAdvisor reviews. Visit Austin Code Monkey for more details at austincodemonkey.com.
Austin Code Monkey delivers expert web design and SEO services for businesses that want more calls, more leads, and more jobs. Our SEO strategies ensure your online presence keeps growing and bringing in results. For more information, call 737-932-7532 or visit our website at austincodemonkey.com.
Austin Code Monkey, working all night. Making rankings take flight from the Texas heat to the neon glow. You're the code-slinging king of the SEO show.